Transformers, more than meets the eye. The Transformers.
Hey everyone, you're listening in to PCB episode 034. Transformers! That's the best you got, right?
Wrong budget.
We can't afford post-production anymore.
We spent all our money on the Green Lantern episode.
That?
It cost us $10 million to get that mask.
And we still didn't get it finished.
Yeah, so maybe Williams, and I'm sitting here with your PCB cast, Josiah Bradley.
Optimus!
He apparently turns into a fire truck.
And you're Shia LaBeouf.
And apparently he likes the beatbox. Here's Marcus Ellison, he turns into a sports car.
Cool. Swag.
All your athletes turn into a Hummer.
Okay, yeah.
That's cool on both levels.
Yeah,
you get
you
driven by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh,
you have a man inside
no.
you. Yeah.
Right,
so. Joey Polias, he turns into a convertible. All sexy like. All sexy like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Top off.
He's bald. Yeah.
And he's Donald Cohen, he turns into a bike.
I'm gonna be the environment.
And not a motorcycle.
not
to confuse anyone.
Jesus.
With training wheels. And the little tassels coming out of the handles.
You're one of those comedy robots.
With a bell.
Comedy robot.
No one takes you seriously.
Why?
Hey, Avery, I'm going to take a dump of your bed tonight.
I'd like to see you try.
You actually want to see me do that?
I was just sleeping in my goddamn bed.
Full swirl.
Yeah. So,
what are you turning to, Avery?
A whore.
Did you forget the format of this? I never say I do anything. I don't matter.
Until you figure out something new for yourself.
He's Cybertron.
But let's all figure out what Avery
Josiah,
is.
A plug the show.
Stick. Nah.
Plug the show.
Nah.
I'm very serious. Plug the show.
I said, what I said was, we have the Tumblr.
He's a pogo stick.
Damn.
I'm sorry, that was uncalled for.
That was unnecessary.
Oh my God. Did you kick him in the balls?
Almost.
Woo.
I apologize. Close. That was,
but it's Red Lantern.
I feel real bad.
That's we're going off the air.
We are.
I'm so sorry.
Beep, 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 beep. We interrupt this.
I'm so sorry.
We're actually having a moment right now. Philip Seymour Hoffman just.
I didn't mean to do that to you. I'm so sorry. I just want to fuck you. Whoa, Philip Seymour Hoffman. That was weird. Anyway, continue with the plugging.
Okay. we got the Tumblr, PCP Lovers Anonymous.
We got the Tumblr.
See, we got the Tumblr. PCP Lovers Anonymous. The Tumblr.
.com
plus the iTunes. We also got the email. We love PCP at yahoo.com. We also got the book, the Facebook.
Go ahead, Thermos.
About to say book face.
Pop culture podcast. And we also got
podcast.
We also got the Tweeterer. We love PCP. Follow us on the twat platform.
I like what you did right there.
Oh my!
I was not expecting that.
You just said twat.
I saw that.
I'm sorry.
You sound like my booby.
No offense to anyone.
Yeah, we're doing the Transformers episode in preparation for Dark of Moon. So,
let it go!
Or as I like to call it, Transformers, Pink Floyd would not give us the rights.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, we're gonna have a long and or brief conversation about the Transformers in entirely.
Ad nauseum.
What am I? I don't even have words anymore.
What just happened?
Something's fundamentally wrong with me.
Legendarium that is Transformers.
Hey, take it to the chop
chop. Chop
chop. So anyway, so this is your PCB broadcast. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about Transformers. So, Joey. Let's break down how the Transformers as a franchise began.
Give us your best Optimus impersonation.
Please, Peter Cullen will forever be
Optimus. Tell us what happened before time began.
His last name is Cullen.
You'll leave him alone.
Hey, he's the coolest Cullen ever.
Okay. Konami, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Transformers originally started in Japan. Japanese company named Takara. No, that's Takara Tomy. Wait, Tomy made those other toys, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Go.
I think they do G.I. Joe as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice, okay.
Takara, yeah, Toyland, Diaclone, and Microman.
Was that the same as Micro Machines, or is that
No, Micro Man.
That would have been
Micro Man.
Okay,
make sure, because you know G.I. Joe. We said that was American.
98, Hasbro bought the distribution rights to the molds and rebranded as the Transformers for distributing in North America. Because we know, once anything is Americanized, it has to be released in some weird-ass title.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or some weird-ass voice.
Yep.
Or some weird-ass edition.
Transgenders.
God damn it.
Sexuality ambiguous.
We'll talk about that.
Hasbro went on to buy the entire toy line from Takara shortly after giving them the entire sole ownership of Jesus Christ.
That's crazy. That's a shrewd business move.
I mean, basically, behind Transformers is basically this: you take an everyday object or an everyday occurrence, like a car driving down the street, and it hits another car, but instead of those cars bursting into flames, they turn into giant robots and try to annihilate each other.
That was sort of the joke behind it, is that, like, this is Hasbro's MO for everything. Here's a bunch of toys. Let's build something around this.
Dude.
And that actually began...
Stereo.
Which, I didn't really know this, but Marvel...
That's crazy.
...comics had the original rights to Transformers. And when Hasbro said, we want to build something with Transformers, same with G.I. Joe, they went to Marvel, and that's where the original sort of Transformers... early canon began before they started. Hasbro started taking executive control over the franchise.
Cool.
So that was how the Transformers began as a toy line. But their beginnings, they have very interesting mythos in Transformers. Very, it's really easy to compare certain characters to Jesus. I said compare. I didn't say they were.
Christ. Jesus Prime?
Yeah. Okay, the deal is that on the planet Cybertron... On the planet Cybertron, there are two warring factions. The
Decepticons.
Autobots and the Decepticons. Yes. The Autobots are all about...
Peace.
Love.
Understanding.
Friendship.
Yes.
3DW 40 forever.
They're the allies. They're the allies in World War II.
There's no
GW40
over there.
They're all about death, destruction, and chaos.
And literally what their name stands for, deception.
Seriously. It's like Mr. Sinister. Like, I wonder
if it's Sinestro.
Sinestro.
Yeah.
Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
And the two factions are figureheaded by two figures. The two most iconic Transformers of all time.
The yin and yang of the
Optimus Prime.
Optimus Jesus Christ. And
Megatron.
Megatron. You can kind of count him as Galvatron.
Yeah, I'm about to say Galvatron as well.
Throwback.
True. Very
so, yeah. And it's really, there have been many like continuities and canons for the Transformers. It's hard to really pin down what the exact conflict between this giant war was.
I thought it started with
Megatron punched Optimus' mom in the face. So Optimus is like,
they're brothers.
Here's the thing.
They're
robots. They don't technically really have
mamas.
No, but
the entire idea is that their planet Cybertron is a living being.
It's a giant robot itself.
And it's God. It's their God.
It's their God. Their planet is their God.
It's
not living. It's Mogo.
Mogo.
Yeah.
Mogo.
Yeah.
Mogo.
It's some weird... It's in certain continuities, it basically started with the fallen, like, the first... There's no one... Before, it was, like, Decepticons and Autobots. Before, it was, like, branched off. It began as, like, the fallen Unicron, and there was another robot that was, like...
This is before the Fallen became the sort of character we know
as. The Fallen.
Yeah, we'll get into that later on.
So what about you, like the Titans?
Almost, yes. And then it was literally like, if you look at it, you can almost make a parallel with Greek mythology. If you break it down, somebody wanted more power, somebody just wanted to keep things the same, and somebody was like, you guys, we can't, essentially cause this fight because we're going to tear everything around. It fucked it up, and then that's when we got Unicron, banished to space, floating around. And you got, like, Starscream, and a couple of the robots were born from Unicron.
Gotcha.
Hence Decepticons.
Yeah.
And it really...
Yeah,
yeah,
the really impetuous
like
is that this
like
war...
That. Well said, Joby.
It ravages their planet, Cybertron, to the point where... Because they're born from their planet, that's how Transformers are made.
Yeah.
They're literally born from the planet.
Yeah.
Their war destroys Cybertron to the point where it cannot bring new life. And...
Yeah.
This war spreads out into the rest of the world, where inevitably, because humans are the most important beings in the universe, falls to Earth, where we get the whole robot in the sky aspect of the Transformers.
Because nobody's really going to be like, hey, look, a giant robot walking down the street. All right, cool.
Well, yeah, the point being that the Autobots and the Decepticons,
yeah.
While the Decepticons are more prone, we don't really care about who knows our secret.
We don't give a fuck
if
about
they
who
reveal them, they're still weakened as an army. They're like small groups fighting guerrilla warfare on Earth.
You know,
so to reveal themselves at that point would be have every government in the world ganging up to destroy you. And with the Autobots, are like, we need to protect ourselves as well as the humans that we come to emulate. So we are also going to hide. And the Transformers had this, as their name entailed, the ability to transform into various other shapes.
Simply, basically, they scan an object that they favor and they transform into it. Soundwave, scan, like...
Yeah. Yeah. What's funny is that, like,
shape-shifter.
Something I didn't really think about until I started watching sort of modern Transformers is that the Decepticons themselves always would pick the most military, aggressive, and flying vehicles.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah. Always.
Flying or anything with...
Yeah. While the Autobots would try to pick the most sort of... casual,
inconspicuous,
low key.
So like, you could see it. You would see it coming a mile away.
You see a fire truck on the side of the road. You will see a fighter jet flying almost mid level.
Thank you.
You know some shit's going on.
Thank you.
What I want to know is, before they donned these disguises, when they were on Cybertron,
what were they?
What they look like?
It's called protoform.
And how could you tell?
It was called a protoform.
Well, yeah, protoform is interesting because in the way the Michael Bay, we'll talk about this later, the Michael Bay movies described it, they all pretty much looked alike.
They took on individual characteristics
once they took a machine, a vehicle form. Yeah. But various continuities sort of portray them as just looking like they normally do.
Just robot.
Except all the accents. Optimus wouldn't have like the clearly windows in his chest.
He would just be the
skeleton essentially. Yeah, he'd be transmutate.
It was literally be like, you remember that protoform, except it was less mentally challenged.
Yeah.
You kind of catch a glimpse of them in the films too.
In the first one, you catch that. We'll talk about that. There's also the Transformers gender issue.
Yeah.
In that.
Robots?
They're female robots. Alita 1, RC.
RC, yeah.
There were a couple of them.
RC's.
We'll talk.
Little fact, RC is Ratchet Small.
We'll talk about that.
Let's jump in depth and talk about the Transformers themselves. The character and the big bot himself.
Optimus Prime.
Boss.
Aslan.
Boss Monkey.
Optimus Prime is probably one of the most iconic figures in all pop culture.
What makes him even more
iconic is that he has Peter Cullen's smooth, authoritarian, father-like voice coming out of his face all the time.
Why don't you marry him?
We can do that in New York now, apparently.
What's funny
is, like, when we were growing up, Peter Cullen wasn't the voice of Optimus Prime.
No, he wasn't.
Was
it Frank Welker?
It wasn't Frank Welker.
Didn't the original voice pass?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, Peter Cullen has always been the original voice.
The original Optimus voice.
Peter Cullen was the original Optimus Prime voice.
No, he was?
He was.
Oh, okay.
That's why he was such a big deal to Transformers fans.
I thought it was somebody else.
I thought he was the most popular. The cartoons, like, they begged him, and he was like,
and that's one of the reasons why the Transformers franchise as a whole is still surviving on that Transformers fan base. Mm-hmm. And like when people saw what Michael Bay was doing with the Transformers movie, they're like, I don't know about this. This isn't my Transformers. And then heard Peter Cullen, let's talk about Optimus himself. Optimus is traditionally...
Cyber Jesus.
Optimus Prime tends to die a lot. But he always tends to come back.
He comes back like someone sacrifices their spark for him, he gets some new parts, or he's reincarnated... Or his groupmate goes to find his spark in inner space. Optimus Prime can't die. He's Goku.
He's just on Craigslist.
Optimus Prime, his traditional vehicle form. The traditional one was a truck, Peterbilt, flat nose truck,
a semi.
Yes. But when we were growing up, he was a fire truck.
Yeah.
That threw me off in the Transformers movie.
It's like a water gun. Awesome. Okay. He's kind of silly now.
Have you seen? Do you know how powerful?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's Still a water gun.
Okay, you take that to
against a robot.
Yeah, compared to
the
Galvatron turning into an entire gun.
That was true. To the direct opposite would be Megatron, who in traditional...
That's a boastful name, don't you think?
Megatron's always annoying me as a character, because he has the worst sort of PR as a villain I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Because he tends to jump into a situation and say, I'm going to oppress everyone,
Megatron,
but we're on your
on,
side.
Now follow me and die.
Megatron's on Dr. Doom level of Tom Cruise.
But then with Dr. Doom, he doesn't like...
Doom
doesn't point
purpose?
Out that he's going to murder you after he joins
Megatron's
he joined
like, oh,
no, but like,
crap.
They're both like
me.
Just larger than
boom.
Life.
Crush
ridiculous.
Your own head.
Wow.
Megatron, you know? Like, I never found Megatron threatening because his original transformation was a handheld gun.
Yeah.
Which floated.
No, he literally flew from a giant robot to a tiny gun.
That needs to be wielded by
Starscream.
Yeah,
which is
Starscream.
Really
yeah,
stupid. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, Megatron and Optimus Prime, the two... they finally fixed Megatron because they turned him into a tank. And
yeah.
or a Cybertronian jet.
Makes
but
sense.
But it still made him in the... Yeah.
He was just weaponized.
Yeah, finally. So he wasn't useful.
He wasn't a Colt 45.
They're the two big... Megatron and Optimus are the two big names
and
of Transformers.
And then you have the second-in-commands.
Well, yeah, you have the second-in-commands, which sort of varies depending on what you're talking about. There are two tropes that exemplify the secondary commands.
Okay, do you want the Decepticons or Autobots?
Well, we'll start with the Decepticons. The trope of the Starscream is...
Starscream
is the worst and best employee you could ever have.
Because Starscream is Judas.
He will suck up to you, but the minute you're weak, he will betray you because he wants power.
Megatron refers to Starscream as the spawn of Unicron because he is one of the sons of Unicron, the original sons of Unicron.
Wow.
And he's waiting to stab you.
He's ratty and sneaky, but he's
deep.
Too weak to stand up
that.
To you outright.
Outright. The moment things turn against him,
he will cut and run.
But he is an invaluable asset as well.
That's why Megatron still hasn't scrapped him. Like, I watched the original, someone posted something like 15 signs of Starscream probably didn't have Megatron's best interest.
Yeah.
And all of them happened in the first episode, in the first 15 minutes.
Yes, I saw that video, yeah.
It's like, Starscream is just like, oh, Megatron, we failed. It wasn't my fault, it was his. Megatron,
Pass
you've been cut in half. Well, I'm Lord
Starscream now.
Wow.
And like, that archetype of a character has been called Starscream. The second in command who just wants as much power but is not going to actually do any acting.
He doesn't have the ambition, but the moment he has it, he'll suddenly get it.
And then
we have the complete opposite in Shockwave. Shockwave is the militant.
He's Megatron sort of like space.
He is a destroyer.
I kind of view Shockwave as Space Hitler.
Megatron's
sort of an evil bastard.
Yeah.
But Shockwave just
Shockwave is so weak.
Megatron's like an evil villain in a comic book way. Shockwave is legitimately
demented.
Evil. He was built evil.
For destruction and whatnot. So... It's like one of those, like, I want to take over the world versus I want to destroy the world.
I want to destroy everything.
Yeah.
Until I just reach a point where I have to destroy myself because I
want
anything
to
exist.
Kill everybody in the world.
Exactly.
Why is Megatron in charge then?
Because Megatron, despite his bad PR, he has the charisma behind him and the power.
And
he's
one important thing, ambition.
He's so well spoken.
Shockwave is just a robot.
Well, they're all different robots.
No,
I get what you're saying.
Has a thing behind him.
Motivation
is
behind him.
Yeah.
He's just
I got you. He's like the
you
give Shockwave an order, he falls into the team.
Just like in Thor, that
the Destroyer,
Destroyer.
Or Doomsday.
That is
exactly.
Shockwave.
I got
Shockwave.
You.
And then
I understand.
And then the other side, like the Decepticons themselves don't really have that many sort of like
hierarchy. It's just who's
defining like the Decepticons that people can point out in a lineup.
A leader,
but the three main would be Shockwave, Starscream, and Soundwave, who
is your central hub of
communication.
Without Shockwave, they just run around shooting shit.
Without Soundwave, they would be running around in the original G1, he turned into a cassette player. He literally mode shifted into a cassette player.
And then he shuts it open up and reveal either
Ravage or Thunder
Ravage
Beak. With Thunder Beak, Laser Beak.
Ravage was, as we know, as we so lovingly know him now, as the metal jaguar that throws up little balls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Robot.
Yeah. Which I just
oh, thought. That's who that was.
I thought they were bolts at first. I just wasn't clear.
Nice. Yeah.
And then, well, I mean, that's for the Decepticons.
Ball bearing. Okay.
As in the remote, like, because of the way Megatron, like, operates, the majority of the Decepticons are faceless goons.
Yeah, pretty much. Megatron just has the brains and the cunning. That's all it really is.
And anyone who'd really, gotcha. Like, be,
he's
like,
surrounded by idiots.
Well, anyone who'd be, recognizable enough to, like, really be, like, popular, he'd probably just take them out. You don't really see that many, like, a large hierarchy of, like, people under
there
him.
Were other,
there are other Decepticons.
There are other factions, like, within, like, Decepticons. There are groups that are against the Decepticons that are actually, even though they're evil, they're still trying to destroy Megatron, and Megatron would make them turn against each other and kill each other.
On that end, however, the Autobots themselves are more... Because of the way Optimus is this weird father figure, the Autobots under him are all, like, iconic characters in themselves. Yeah. And there tends to be more when, like, with the Decepticons, they sort of have to reach and just pull out random characters to put together, like, the enemy army when they do the Transformers and other media.
They're all about
the Autobots, there's a long list of sort of recognizable characters that basics. Always need to be brought back. They're the number basics. One being the Bumblebee, who
the
in
Bumblebee?
Itself
yeah, it
is a trope.
The Bumblebee. Because... Everybody
Bumblebee.
What do you think of Bumblebee? First thing that comes to your mind.
Camaro?
Well, no, the Volkswagen Beetle.
The Volkswagen
Beetle.
Okay.
And Bumblebee itself, like, explain the trope, Bumblebee, is a character who stings hard, but is completely useless.
Uh-huh. It's like, aww. You know.
And that's, but Bumblebee's defining characteristic, he's been this small Autobot that is powerful.
He's plucky.
But probably couldn't, yeah.
He's
yeah.
Plucky is exactly
he's not taken seriously.
Yeah.
He's not taken seriously.
He's Rudy.
Oh,
so
dang.
He dies of his never mind.
That's terrible.
I know, but that's,
and then,
that's a great movie.
I mean,
anyway,
I mean, and then alongside Bumblebee, you usually have with Optimus right next to him, Ironhide and Ratchet.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Ironhide usually
militant,
what,
not,
specifically,
you know,
gung ho, like the weapons expert.
Weapons
then you've got Ratchet, who's the doctor, and usually portrayed in most media as Optimus' like oldest friend, like the person he's known the longest in the war. And he's usually the only person who really knows what they're doing in a combo.
Yeah.
then we have the problem of RC as a character.
Yeah.
And that she's the female Autobot.
So
now,
yeah.
Because there have been several attempts to explain the whole gender thing.
When we say gender, of course,
she has a defined gender.
She has a defined gender.
She has boobs.
She
has metal plates in the shape of boobs.
And she kind of has eyelashes, too. Which is
that's
yeah.
Oh yeah, there's some Transformers with her beards. But yeah,
we'll get to that later.
Yeah,
but yeah,
we will get to that.
RC turned into a motorcycle, and like from one story I heard about her origin, she used to be a male Transformer, but she was turned into a female, and they forced her to stay that
Once
way.
Once again, transgenders.
That was one explanation for the gender thing. There have been many explanations for the gender thing. And you've got Jazz. Everyone,
you
want to
piss
me?
Wait. In the beginning, Jazz
I know, but that's how he's gonna be remembered now.
Yeah,
thanks to Eddie Winslow.
Wait,
B-Boy Bot 3000 Watt.
My God,
but like, the character doesn't deserve his due, so let's put that out there.
I want to.
And then there's Jetfire, who is one of the more modern he was a Transformer that they like. He's not one of the classic ones, but he was brought into the modern continuity, like in the modern attempts to bring Transformers in the forefront, and stuck.
Now, the funny thing about it is more or less Transformers almost returned back to space, like they're almost missions to go
up. Jetfire was saying he's a part of the other Autobots, the fact he's one of the few who decided I'm not going to be a truck.
And he decided, I can either be a Decepticon because I'm powerful enough, or I can be an Autobot because, well, I don't care. So he kind of stayed neutral, he vacillated back and forth eventually.
Yeah.
He was still a Decepticon, but he turned into an Autobot. Mm-hmm. In the movies, he was old. Now...
Old and Scottish.
We'll
old
talk
Scottish,
about that. We'll talk
that
about
is
that.
Bullshit. Sorry, Michael Bay.
Yeah.
You're a cunt.
Don't.
Damn.
So we'll talk about that.
My Jetfire is not old.
We'll talk about this. Anyway, we're gonna move in to talk about sort of the adaptations of Transformers. But we're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna do that.
Transformers!
so we're back, and now, I prefaced a lot of our old descriptions for this Transformers episode is that we, as young men in our early, late 20s, have...
Hey!
I looked at you and said, I didn't. You looked at me and said, hey, so I had to respond. We completely missed the zeitgeist on the Transformers franchise. Yeah. By the time we, as children, got into it, Transformers was done. We were in Beast Wars territory.
No, we
were. So, really can't talk about Transformers
G1. Our robot renaissance was Cubics and Metabots.
Oh, Metabots!
One of those was good, one of those wasn't.
Okay. our Transformers renaissance happened... So we completely missed G1, G2, the Transformers, the movie, where Optimus Prime died, got Optimus Prime.
My neighbor had all those on video.
Yes.
I was lucky.
Likewise. My brother had him. He's
So we're gonna start the discussion at Beast Wars.
Okay.
Which
Boss Monkey?
Beast Wars started. Beast Wars actually divided the Transformers, the hardcore Transformers community, because it started this meme of truck, not monkey, where with Beast Wars, it was a bunch of Autobots and Decepticons. Ended up on prehistoric Earth. This is after the events of the original.
We're talking about
G1 and G2.
We're talking about full Magnum Man.
Yeah. And so without machines to take the form, they all took the form of animals. Including new factions, the Maximals and the Predator. Unfortunately, both leaders were still called Megatron and instead of Optimus Prime,
there was
Optimus Primal.
There's also Optimus Minor, after several deaths later.
Optimus Primal. Now, the truck no monkey thing happened when because they called him Optimus Prime, everyone was like, "Is he going to turn into a truck?" Like it's
what the fuck?
I don't see why he should.
AD.
Just a name.
So he's a monkey.
Yeah.
I didn't know the name had to do with the car.
Primal.
Yeah. Primal.
And
that kind of
in Japan, Optimus Prime is called Fire Convoy.
Good lord. But we're in America right now.
His Japanese name is Convoy.
Fire Convoy. Fire Truck.
Yeah.
So his Japanese name is Convoy. Yeah. But when he became the Fire Truck, they were called Fire Convoy.
And then we had our Bumblebee almost turning into
Cheetor.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember.
Ratchet was Rat Trap.
No, Ratchet was Rhinox.
Rhinox.
I remember that too.
Rat Trap was.
Who was like?
Well, Rat Trap. Okay, I don't know how to explain.
Rat Trap was the comic relief.
He was
a descendant of RC.
Yeah, he was a sergeant and very weapons oriented.
Here's the thing. What was weird about Beast Wars is that.
Oh my god! Yeah.
I don't know where he came from.
He was part Hawk, part Wolf.
Yeah, and there was their fusors.
Yeah. Okay. My problem with Beast Wars themselves is like. When you read G1 and the original cartoons, it was like, we already had the toys of the Blue Story with them.
Yeah.
Beast Wars was pretty much ruled by whatever toy was coming out at the time.
Now we had
those characters changed every season, and it was like Power Rangers.
Yeah, it's like the Predacons, we had like dinosaurs,
like,
and bugs.
Like, the metal ones.
Yeah.
Then there was that time that Optimus Prime...
Get Fusors.
Then there was that time that Optimus Prime wasn't even a monkey anymore. He was a giant...
An orange
monkey.
He turned into the Tumbler from Batman.
Yeah,
He looked like a.
All of them was a big orange and blue.
Yeah,
it was like the middle between the monkey and the human.
That's what
it
was.
The middle between monkey and truck.
And this was two transformations afterwards. Like that from his original
jet.
Yeah.
And then
he had that skateboard.
Yeah.
The kid on his back.
Yeah. Just weird.
No, the original Optimus Prime didn't start. Primal didn't start out as a monkey. He started out as a bat. Something I didn't really realize until I went back and looked at the old toys.
Yeah.
They originally solicited him as a bat, but then that came. Like, the original Megatron of that generation wasn't a T-Rex.
Which makes sense.
He was an alligator.
Yeah. Which, I guess, evolutionarily speaking.
Right.
Yeah. Remember? Yeah.
That's what that toy is?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, like, evolutionarily speaking, it's like they had a bit of a consistency of, like, this was a CG program.
Yeah, right. it was the first
one of the early ones.
Yeah. Probably won't have aged very well.
No, I've seen it recently.
It doesn't look as good.
It was a Sunday. It was like a weekday morning show at this point. When you look at it, yeah, and it's just like,
I mean, when it got more in depth, when they reached the Transmetals, they kind of blocked off it over.
It makes sense. But it's like
something weird happened with the show where they all went back to Cybertron, But at the end of Beast Wars, they all go back home.
They all go back, and then
Megatron, like, something happens, and Megatron gets there first and takes over the planet, and we get...
He wipes a lot of...
We get Beast Machines,
which is basically a hippie...
Where the phrase, I am transformed...
Oh, gear.
...was the only way you can unlock your transformation.
And then so that's when Beast Machines was very weird.
Yes.
It was more spiritual and more... Like,
one, they're organic. The divide between what was machine... humanoid and what was animal was changed. So like characters like Optimus in his monkey form didn't really look as different than he did in his Transformer form. Like his head would just change.
Yeah. And even Cheetor was just like, they kind of changed the plot.
And they also cut out a lot of characters.
Speaking of Cheetor, they actually get, wait, what?
There was a, what was that bat called?
You mean the one with the Elvis curl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, weird, my. Like, from a distance, you're like, who was that wasp? You had that toy.
Waspinator?
Waspinator?
Jetfire?
Waspinator
was like... To clear that whole thing up, Thrust was the jet, right?
I think so.
Or the bike.
Yeah.
His bike?
I think so.
Well, like,
my math's not right.
Thrust was Silver Bolt. Silver Bolt fell in love with Black Arachnia.
Well, here's the thing. One of the things of these machines is that they can cut out a lot.
Same thing with Dinobot.
Dinobot kept switching sides. He died, came back, was just like a
meat machine.
He came back
in Transmetal because they cloned him.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Night Cream, that was the bad thing.
There we are.
They took a piece of that. Megatron always had faith in Dinobot in a weird way. Took a piece of his spark, cloned him. When he cloned him into the Transmetal Dinobot, the Transmetal Dinobot like flipped out one day and realized, I'm a clone, but there's still a good part of me.
Yeah.
Still sacrificed himself and died, though.
Right.
So he was just always dying.
Yeah.
Dinobot followed the code of the Bushido.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. He was going to die.
However, Waspinator...
And he was the first... Yeah.
Waspinator was obsessed with Megatron.
He was the first... He was the reason humans learned to use weapons.
Yeah.
He broke all his weapons and started using a stick with a really big rock in his axe.
Yes, at the end, when he fought off, in his original Dinobot form, he fought off all the Predacons, and with his weapons depleted, lasers gone, he just took an axe, took a stick, stuck it into a stone, and just chopped them up.
Probably the character with the biggest personality change, though, was Cheetor,
he went from the Bumblebee to someone who was... He was angry at everyone else.
He was just like childhood. He was just teenage
and
angst.
That was teenage angst.
Yeah, like he was.
Then he turned into a transmodal. Because
in Bumblebee, he was
too.
More of just a loyal, you know, sidekick.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, he was more, you know,
I wanna make my
challenging
own
authority.
Yeah.
And like,
bow
back.
One of the things that always annoyed me about Beast Machines is that they cut the cast
down a lot.
A lot, like there were a lot of random Maximals and Predacons just rolling around. And Beast Machines, the main characters were Black Arachnia, Rat Trap, Optimus Primal, Cheetor, and Night Scream.
And right on.
And then Silverbolt showed up later.
Later,
as Thrust.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
and Rhinox got like.
Well, Megatron showed up and he stole the sparks of some of the Maximals and Predacons and used them to create a giant robot army to take over Cybertron.
So
we had like the tanks, the jets, bikes. It was just like this random robot army.
Eventually, he had the helicopters.
And Megatron was the dragon this time.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Well, anybody
that was the only legitimate thing I loved
about
Beast
Machines. One of the things that was interesting about Megatron was that he's like, in his dialect and speech, he's like, he had this vague. He kind of reminded me of Scar from The Lion King.
Yeah.
The way he kind of moved, he's like, it was vaguely like.
Because he was trying to be more civilized and be more of a robot.
Yeah,
than
it was like
beast.
Kind of more refined at the same time, and I'm not trying to say
he didn't like his beast form at all.
Yeah, I was like, he didn't.
He
yeah, there's a point where he just kind of sounded like.
He was never his beast form.
When he turned into like the dragon, he get really upset because
he
don't want.
That's when he was pissed. Damage. Yeah,
that's why he always stayed in that weird cocoon.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, also like a cape.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the whole Beast War.
We weren't big fans of Beast Machines.
That's where I got my name from. So.
Oh no, you got that from Beast Wars.
Beast Wars. Okay.
Yeah.
But
Beast Machines is a little too much.
It's like I don't know. Maybe it's like before. Maybe it's like
It was we cannot forget the first ever plant transformer.
Bodidica.
Couldn't we?
Wow.
Yeah.
Bodidica.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Green Lantern.
They need more gender equality.
So
that was sort of the Beast Wars, Beast Machines saga of Transformers. I mean, that was in the early part of my childhood, and by the time sort of Transformers came back, Fox had decided to Fox had gotten the rights to the Japanese series and was adapting it.
Several mm-hmm. times over.
First, we got Robots in Disguise, which is the first time Optimus Prime showed up as a fire truck.
Right.
Fire convoy.
Yeah, I watched that one big time.
And,
we got
and was that the first time we got Optimus Prime Super Mode? I'm not exactly sure.
Wait, the Jetfire?
No, we just got, like, extra armor.
Oh, that.
Oh, when he puts about, the trailer.
Yeah.
Like,
with that.
Why would a fire truck be having a trailer? Then, semi makes sense. But, like, why would a fire truck? That's,
yes.
When he fused with his brother, Ultra Magnus.
There you go. That's what it was. Yeah. And then that translated into...
First flying
into,
Autobot or something?
Transformers... was it Armada?
I think it was
Armada. It was Armada.
It was Armada. It was like the hunt for the Minicons.
Yes, the one with the Minicons. That was by far my favorite saga of Transformers on television. Because
they were basically adaptive robots.
They brought in, they took, the, so you had like, they replaced Bumblebee with Hotshot, which I to Transformers, I never sort of forgiven them for.
Yeah.
And they added the quest for the Minicons, which heated up when you got the Sky Boom Shield, the Star Saber.
Sky Boom Shield,
which,
I like that.
It's very Japanese.
Yeah, and then they had that thing, like, the first time, like, they gave like, a humanized Starscream where you just decide, you know what? I don't like the way Megatron treats me. I'll join the Autobots. I made friends, and I betrayed him.
Yeah.
Go back to Megatron.
Which is just, what are you going to do?
In his DNA.
Yeah. And then for some reason,
RNA.
There were two other series. Well, there was a sequel to Transformers Armada. Transformers Energon, which dealt with the fact that now the Transformers... No, that was the third one.
Really?
Yeah, but we'll talk about that. But the Energon was like, the Transformers are now in, out in the open with embassies. We're working with them to rebuild Earth. And they changed the art style to a more CGI style.
Yeah.
So,
it was like cel shaded or something?
Yeah, it was cel shaded CGI.
Yeah, it was vaguely. Yeah.
But everything else was still normal.
Kind of like the mini
like
Gundam wings.
It was like
that kid with the glowing hair.
Like Dinosaurs with Energon.
Yeah.
I really cared for that one.
Ooh, yeah. Dinosaurs.
But it brought back Unicron.
It was really in a Transformers.
And they called it the Unicron. And then. No, this is my problem with the Unicron trilogy.
Okay.
The first two series of it were actually tied together as one series and sequel. The third one with the keys was not in that continuity, and they changed the dialogue and everything to make it work.
That was ridiculous.
Wow.
That was too much to keep up with.
Yeah.
The keys went in specific slots inside random
slots. The keys were the replacement for the Minicons.
Yeah, and you would place
which,
them
and you know
there
aren't
super
in
weapon.
That one at all. Because it wasn't in...
That was like my least favorite Transformers series. I actually stopped watching Transformers for a while.
And then with the Transformers movies, they had to keep doing. Well, they had to put something out, and so we got Transformers Animated, which I've heard hardcore Transformers fans loved it. I didn't really.
Me neither.
It was like one of the Transformers fighting humans.
Yeah,
and that like
that concept alone.
That's
like
the opposite of Samurai Jack.
I was like, so you guys aren't. The thing I heard though is they actually made Megatron sort of a more realistic threat to the Transformers besides just being this general like. Oh, if you go back and watch old Transformers, like none of his plans ever work.
He's kind of
Galabot always beat him. He's always upset that he's lost.
He was 1990 Shredder. And also the art style.
I look forward to that episode.
Yeah, because they're all With the that they canceled that one and replaced it with Transformers Prime.
It's on the hub,
which is a more a CGI
CGI
style
again,
and they're combining elements from the Transformers Animated with the Transformers movies and the Transformers War for Cybertron series into a series that I can understand why people at surface glance don't like it, but someone who wanted to get back into Transformers. And like someone who has invested interest in them because of the pop culture behind them, wanted to get into something I actually really enjoy.
The only thing, like I've gotten to a few episodes, and I think the only thing really suffers from them is like it probably has a smaller budget.
They definitely have a smaller budget.
But one, they also have Peter Cullen's voice, so their Optimus Prime has that.
And they're
using the movie design for the most part, which my. We'll talk about it when we get to the movie, but one of my biggest problems with the original Transformers is that they never really looked, not so much realistic to me, but it didn't look like they could work in real life.
The transforming, yeah. Like, if I see...
Like, the mode shifting and the body, but it just didn't look right.
It would look, it looks like...
Which generation are you talking about?
The early generation of Transformers. G1. G1, G2.
It's like, if you were to...
You don't understand the wheel works?
Like, the wheels behind the calves or whatever like that? Or on the NRB?
Yeah.
Bam.
Like,
so they chose... Do they even have kneecaps?
I don't
technically.
Those original designs. And the Transformers Prime, like, their Megatron is actually threatening. Not like, if I go back and watch the old ones, he's like, I turn into a gun, Optimus beat me. This one is just like, he shows up, resurrects an entire army of dead Cybertronians, and like, becomes this big threat, and then dies in the beginning of the series.
Yep.
And so, we're dealing with Starscream in charge for a long period of time. And Starscream, so he's not as effective, but then Megatron shows back up, and it's like, oh. All I know is I'm really loving Transformers Prime.
Huh. And it's called Prime because it's about Optimus?
No, it's called Prime. They need to.
Okay.
They have to bill it at something.
They need a subtitle because they need to differentiate.
And I forgot to say this while we were talking about Beast Wars. It also had one of the best catchphrases ever when Optimus would always be like, well, that's just Prime.
Oh, yeah. And that's right.
I would say that all the time.
It's when
and would later spawn Bradley, his catchphrase, that ain't Prime. The okay, Bradley.
It gave me my best like, exhibit of
replacement?
Replacement, yeah. slag. Which you can't say in Britain.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you cannot say in Britain.
No. Slag. Yeah.
Slag.
That's Transformers and like sort of the cartoon interpretations, but the reason we're doing this episode is in preparation for the Michael Bay movie, Dark of the Moon.
Michael Bay!
So I'm gonna take a quick break.
Stop
making
fun of the way I said it.
And Dark of the Moon.
Dark of Derp.
Dark of Moon.
Dark of For the Moon.
Dark for
Dirk
of the Moon.
Dark of the Moon.
So yeah, we're gonna sit down. We're gonna talk about the movies. We cut that out of our Michael Bay episode specifically for this episode because we're gonna be focusing on the Transformers themselves.
Cue another Linkin Park song.
What?
Okay, so no, let's break down the first movie before we move on and talk about anything else.
Oh, before
now,
time begins.
Shia LaBeouf says no.
That was the second. Before he started overacting.
That was the second one. Now the first movie. Now, when I first heard the idea of a Transformers movie, I was like, okay, cool beans.
I, like, I remember
I was out of the Transformers zeitgeist, so I had that only surface understanding what the Transformers franchise was. So I couldn't be like a fan of like, oh no, Transformers. And at that point, I wasn't hip to what Michael Bay was.
No.
Yeah,
to him, every movie. Every movie he made was hilarious.
A block,
and funny.
A building click. Explosion!
Well, at that point, like I was more the inclusion of Spielberg superseded the inclusion of Michael Bay.
Yes.
Yeah, and remember, of course.
Yeah,
and what sold me on the movie itself was his decision to get rid of the god awful mode modular shifting, where something the size of a house could turn into a boombox.
Yeah.
And he decided to make the Transformers as realistic as physically possible.
Yeah.
Big. Very.
He took a cue from Nolan.
If he wanted Optimus Prime to turn into like something that's like 60 feet, he would have to be a specific type of truck that had the mass to do that.
Exactly.
And
right.
That pissed off a lot of old Transformers fans who just wanted to see the big sort of clunky and unrealistic looking
Transformers.
But for me, I was like, okay, this is something I can get behind. And then they said Peter Cullen was going to do the voice. And all those old fanboys were like, well,
we're back. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, now, my only problem, like, I understand why he did that, a more practical design. The only problem with that is due to that.
It's really hard to...
That's distinctive, so you can't really, like, especially during the fight scene.
Yeah, due to the fight scene, it became a problem, too.
You don't know
One of the problems was they were using that new style of filming action where you do close-ups and you zoom in and out.
That's the worst thing you could do.
And when they're so intricate and so complicated that it becomes nearly impossible to pick them out.
Spinning wheels and planetary cogs.
No, it did have... Probably the most intricate transformation.
Yes. Well, especially that first that all commentary show up. Was good. And I like someone like the guys who designed the Transformers pointing out that like everything. Ironhide himself in that one gun of his that comes out of his arm has enough moving parts than any other Transformer in the series.
Because he was like, the parts have to go somewhere.
That's why
somewhere.
They kept pulling out the gun every 5 seconds. You want to see my guns?
They're not like morphing.
That was
them
showing off.
They're awesome. Like, every piece has to
my
fit
guns
somewhere.
Are awesome.
So yeah, everyone, if you haven't seen the first Transformers, we would drop a quick synopsis.
And where have you been?
I know, it's like, we probably remember the first Transformers. We remember the first Transformers was probably more fun than we should, but I think most of us enjoyed it.
I graduated.
I especially remember being in the movie theaters during that first sequence where, who was it that landed?
Soundwave?
Who was it that landed on the Air Force base? I mean, not Air Force.
Blackout.
Base,
Blackout. My bad. Blackout.
They did the Godzilla thing where you didn't see the Transformers up close until you saw that fight with Bear Cage and Bumblebee.
Yeah.
But
the blackouts.
Blackout landed and he transformed and then it sent that EMP wave.
EMP pulse.
Right.
And after that whole sequence was done, someone in the back of the
theater
went,
"Damn!" Everybody, we all knew we were going to have a good time after that.
Hey, let's just drop Scorponok into the sand for a bit.
Yeah.
The story
of the first Transformer movie was that Sam Witwicky, a character from the original G1 continuity of
Sam
Witwicky, the first sort of human companion that spawned a lot of god-awful human companions. Has access to... these glasses.
Yeah.
Which have the information.
Cybertronian
code.
No sacrifice. No victory.
That's some of the best dialogue ever. Are you using 8-1-1-2-3-7? I'm just
not moving. Where are the glasses?
Barricade. His big.
Spitting all over.
Police,
the glasses are special because they've been engraved
with the knowledge
on
of
the lenses. Right.
Did they call it the AllSpark, right?
Yeah.
AllSpark. Oh, like the Energon cube.
Which is what? Our Bible.
Yeah. The Watchtower.
And then, like, he's stalked by the Transformers because they want the information.
Right.
And the scene that I really loved is that, like, Bumblebee, like, well, Sam's getting one of the first acts of the movie, Sam getting his own car.
Rest in peace, Bernie Mac.
And Bernie Mac.
Rest in peace, yes.
Car dealer.
Yeah. And
you
see the background.
You're so ugly.
A Volkswagen Beetle. That's one of the things a lot of people got annoyed by. Like, they changed a lot of the car designs. Like, Bumblebee was no longer a Volkswagen Beetle, but now a badass Camaro.
Because they allowed
the
more money.
And then the Camaro went up.
Look, you're one at my office. Yes. I swear to God, it's stalking me.
It's Bumblebee. This will change your entire life.
This is one Bumblebee. This is one Camaro.
It'll transform if you win it.
Bumblebee comes into Sam's life, and he gets sort of embroiled in the Transformers war. And on the other side, the government has knowledge of the Transformers, and being the human race, we've got to fuck everything.
Air quotes.
Basically.
Oh, wait, we've got the most important part. Megan Fox bending over a hood. Yeah.
That was back to the guys of hot.
Okay, I got a lot of hotness. Toe thumb jokes aside, we kind of go on Megan Fox a bit here. That was her going over the hood of the car was kind of like when Cameron Diaz came out the limo in The Mask. It was like one of those.
Look. Megan Fox.
Get him.
Lack of talent aside.
Get him.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
Like,
I know you just shot audio. People were like, oh,
I know, right?
We're going to make fun of her?
Backfire.
No, she can't act to save her life.
No.
Oh, damn.
But she has a very
that's just how we feel.
Strikingly beautiful face. This was before all the touch-ups on her face and the
bad lighting in Jonah Hex.
And the corset. Don't forget the corset.
In that movie, she looked normal and really pretty.
That's what made her big.
Yeah.
And both made both her and Shia big.
Yeah.
Shia had done some other work beforehand, but that was sort of his big break.
That was his big break. Yeah.
No, I know.
He played the special kid.
He did.
Yeah.
Wait, that was a Disney Channel movie, though.
But that was great.
But yeah, so.
But anyway.
More in depth, I mean.
Anything else about the first Transformers?
But yeah, also, Hugo Weaving and Megatron
fantastic. That's spot on.
Spot on cast.
Hugo Weaving makes everything better.
Q-Boy!
Damn it, oh, you boy!
And of course, my favorite part was, you know, what Joey said earlier, Jazz going with the Megatron, like, you want a piece of me?
No, I want two.
Great. Well, one of the things was, like, the Transformers, like, they pointed out that, like, when the Autobots came out, that they had used human television and airwaves to learn about the culture, so they all had sort of distinct personalities at that point.
Which is also what led to Bumblebee having a lot of random. He kept quoting a preacher.
Well, no, with Bumblebee, it was that.
He lost his voice.
In a fight, so he could only talk radio signal. I think really like that.
I thought that was cool.
That was cool.
Clever. That was something clever on Michael Bay's part. And then we had Ironhide, who apparently saw way too many clean movies, and Jazz, who listened to a little too much Jay-Z.
Yep, and he just came down and said,
"What's up, Lou?"
He literally called him Lil' Bitches, and I'm like, oh, damn.
And that was Eddie Winslow, which still just gets me.
He dated Superhead. But,
her name is Honey.
One of the things I like about that movie is...
I really love the first Transformers movie.
Yeah.
Fault aside, I really enjoy that movie.
It had the right amount of...
Action.
Yes, it was very fun.
Right, focus on
the Transformers,
the Transformers and Sam.
Yeah,
like it wasn't really about the other characters at that time. It was more about Sam and the Transformers. And there was moments where it was more about Sam's running relationship, but in most cases, it was still focused on the Transformers.
Because characters like Sam's best friend, who was like in and out and gone,
he was in there only enough for that first scene and the scene where Sam was running around.
Or even Anthony Anderson or John Turturro's characters and things like that.
That was the subplot I didn't need. That government
hacker thing did not be neat. The only good thing that came out of that part is where the government infiltrated Anthony Anderson's house and his fat brother ran through a glass window and fell into the pool.
I like when he was eating donuts and then it's like, yo, eat the donuts. It tells you don't mean nothing.
Look at me. Clean the whole plate.
Anthony Anderson was funny in that, and he's seldom funny to me.
It's one of the things, my biggest problem with that first Transformers movie is, one, it starts off with this sequence like, okay, we need to get this cube somewhere safe. Let's drive, let's do a convoy, which is a great scene to showcase the cars that they use.
And then
we got the scene of, not Bone Crusher, I think it was Bone Crusher rolling up on Optimus, going through the bus, and then Optimus decided, right?
And
then Optimus decided, like, pull out the knives and, like, go to town on him.
Yeah, he did.
He stabbed him in the face.
But then we got the really stupid scene of the military group deciding to...
park
themselves in the middle of a city, crowded city full of people, to fight the Decepticons.
And clearly, like, I mean, all the military characters were just gratuitous because they decided to give good.
Well, I like Josh Duhamel and Tyrese Gross.
I like them, but
those are the two characters.
Yeah, it's like that part was just it's like they're just throwing
Tyrese's out entire role in the Transformers series. If you state the obvious,
So, but it's just like they didn't need to give them.
This is Mr. Freaking Insanity.
Yeah. So
that's his role in every movie.
And
then we got the theme where Optimus versus Megatron, which ended exactly how I assumed it would. They made Megatron bigger.
Went to work on Optimus.
But Optimus just pulls out a haymaker out of nowhere, just like
Optimus was getting bodied.
Yeah.
One of the things I also loved about Michael Bay's designs for the Transformers is that while they invoke certain elements of their original looks and designs. Like, Megatron still kind of had that weird Megatron head.
Yeah, he did.
Megatron was so prideful, he didn't really want an Earth form.
Yeah. So he kept the Cybertronian head. And the six-fingered
hand.
Well, yeah, the big thing about Megatron, everyone was upset was that he didn't turn into a gun. Well, now he's a giant gun for a hand.
Makes sense.
That yeah, that was slick when he used it. That was slick when he did that.
Beast mode, like big yeah. gun mode on him.
Yeah, and then Optimus, like, Optimus' big weapon in the original G1 was an axe, like a glowing red axe.
Yeah.
So he gave him, like, heat blades that were sort of axe shaped that come out of his hand.
And
then
he goes to town. Yeah.
Yes.
So one thing I didn't like about the Optimus Prime design is the fact that they gave him a mouth. Like,
really?
I
mean, a moving parts.
Yeah,
no,
they close this when he's gonna fight.
He gets the battle shield.
Then there was some super purists that would.
They give him a face
fight. The fire decal was stupid.
Well, I actually really like the fire decal.
I like the fire decal.
It was the only way they were gonna get that classic Optimus Prime red and blue look on that new face they gave him.
It makes sense. Like that diecast. Out the
trailer.
That diecast look.
Yeah, and then. And another thing is Bumblebee and the little shield helmet they gave him.
They all had face guards.
Yeah, they're relatively face guards because they were soldiers. Yeah, this was war.
And,
yeah.
You know, like, this movie, it jump-started Shia's career, but at the same time, he was likable without being over the top in this movie.
Because it was a story of what they called it with a boy and his robot.
Yeah.
And, like, the relationship between him and Bumblebee
was
sort of better than his birthing relationship with Megan Fox.
Yeah. That's because Bumblebee was a better actor.
What are you talking about, vagina? I've got a robot that can kill people.
I like how at the end of the movie he starts making out with Megan Fox on top of Bumblebee's head.
Yeah, that must have made Bumblebee feel real uncomfortable.
Wow, I really want to be a part of this movie. It's like, what if, like...
I was trying to, like, throw the roof.
What if Aladdin...
Now, that would have been great.
What if Aladdin and Jasmine just got down kind of comfort? Like, it's like that.
And apparently, Josh Duhamel's character got
Ironhide. But that was my part. Like,
saw them again, and then Tyrese was mad probably because I was like, I was supposed to get a chance.
I was like, okay, so what the Transformers gonna do now? At the end of the movie, like, ended with sort of all the characters, like Josh Duhamel finally going home to his family, and like, so he got home on Ironhide.
Yeah,
I thought at that point all the Transformers were gonna find like human companions.
Just Ironhide and Bumblebee.
Yep.
But then that is immediately corrected when we jump into Transformers: Rise of the Fallen.
Well,
no, Revenge of the Fallen.
Revenge of the Fallen.
And in the immediate time,
the
Transformers have come together with a UN task force to deal with the Decepticons still on the planet because Megatron died at the end of the first.
Just like Bin Laden.
The Bering Strait or the something chasm.
It's something. It's the deepest trench in. Deepest sea. Anyway, it's something like supposedly no one can get to.
Well, so you think that like when
they taking account the giant Decepticons that died that deep?
Yeah. So you think that with a title like Revenge of the Fallen, you think Megatron lost the last time. This must be his revenge.
No,
Fallen is its own character.
Which the biggest problem with that is that they painted Megatron as the big bad of all the Decepticons,
right?
Yeah.
And they immediately
it's not even the old decrepit thing.
It's the fact that Megatron is bowing down to someone else.
This doesn't make much sense.
See, because of the way Transformers worked, there have always been old Transformers.
Yeah,
always. But, so it didn't bother me that the Fallen was an old decrepit Transformer. What bothered me was that the fact that Megatron was bowing to him, my master.
Yeah, because Megatron has explicitly dialogue.
Like
I think he's talking to Starship.
Star Wars kind of thing.
And explicitly said, "No one fall. I am the leader. I do not get. Besmirched." And immediately after, like a second later, he says, "What can I do, my master?"
Yeah. My only thing about that scene I kind of like is that the way he sort of treats Starscream is so in line with all the Transformers canon. Where he's just sort of like, Starscream.
It's the way he treats him. But it completely pulls a 180 right there. It's just like, it's completely inconsistent.
I just have a problem with, this is called Revenge of the Fallen, so you would think that this Fallen character.
Well, here's the thing. The Fallen did come in and do a mega big splash, but he was completely overshadowed by what happened with Optimus at the end of the movie.
It should have been called Revenge of Optimus. Because Optimus was the most intimidating character in that movie.
Because he took over
Jetfire. Because they didn't know about the Fallen. That's my problem with the Fallen.
Well, no, even before Jetfire showed up, he was in that before.
Hold on. We got two conversations going on.
Sorry about that, man. So I asked, why didn't they approach the Fallen in the first
movie? Because
the
Fallen, they basically had to do a quick... Like
they inserted him into the canon that they already built. Like, he didn't fit, and they had to make him fit.
Almost in the sense that, like, they kind of took the Beast Machine route, bam, prehistoric Earth, we're going to drop a couple robots on the planet, they're the first Primes, which is Optimus' descendants, the first robots.
Okay.
The The Fallen, well, at the time was a prime. The Fallen just killed like a bunch of.
I didn't really like. I always felt with Optimus Prime, like there are all the other characters. There are other characters called Prime, but I never really got the whole Prime as a designation.
As a title or anything like that.
It's, like, it's, I yeah, and with Transformers that. Being robots, I didn't really understand the whole Descendant thing.
Yeah.
I don't. And it's from the spot.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but like, here's the thing. Revenge of the Fallen had a really great opening scene where at some time in between the last movie and this one, the Transformers have gotten together with a UN task force to handle the first conflict on the planet.
Called Nest.
The Nest. Yeah. And they're in China, and they find the Decepticon just mind his own business, hiding.
Give me, what was that Decepticon's name again?
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
Sidewinder?
Demolisher?
No.
I mean, no.
Now,
it wasn't Sidewinder. No, Sidewinder was the
issue
that really slipped
Demolisher is...
We'll talk about Devastator later.
First and foremost, I'm just saying they fucked up a couple of names. They screwed up a name in the first.
Well, here's the thing. There's no towards the end. It became a problem in the canon of the Transformers in that they stopped literally caring about all these robots and just put them all on screen. But what ends up happening? Flashback. What ends up happening is that like we get this. I still stand by the opening scene in this movie where, like, Optimus, they're like, all right, we need to drop Big Buddha. I'm not sure why they call him Big Buddha, but they drop Optimus from freaking
the
sky. Call him Big Buddha because of his outlook on life and everything. Like, he's a Z.
But the way Tyree said it, it sounded like brother.
Yeah.
Like butter.
And so, like, they drop Optimus, which is a cool scene.
Yeah.
And he transforms in midair.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
No, well, first they show Ironhide transforming the first time.
Yeah.
And then we get the really complicated scene. And then, and then we get the weird chase scene with the three RC sisters and the new Autobot Sideswipe.
And then you never see them again.
They die.
Well, and then we get Sideswipe who shows up, cuts the Decepticon in half, and says, damn, I'm good.
That was sexist mess.
He does everything else in the rest of the movie.
No, I can't believe it. Like, it kind of sucks because, like, there's so many casualties in that first scene. And, like, no one cared about the Autobot casualties.
Nope.
They're like, well...
That's another one.
Hey, we still got Autobot.
The RC sisters died at the end of the movie. But in that first scene...
Yeah, like, one of them is there, like, for a second. It's like, come with me if you want to live. Click.
Well, another thing that kind of annoyed me is that at the beginning of this movie, apparently all the big stuff that happened in that Monument City... No one remembers.
They said, take out of the gas
leak. That's the worst part of this. Of the logic. They destroyed, like, what is it, Los Angeles? I forget.
It's like somewhere in Nevada.
A metropolitan city. In daylight, out there.
People saw them. A woman was in her car that turned into a transformer and ate her face.
There were camera crews. They were on the news. And they just played it off like it never happened.
Yeah, because he said something like, whatever happened with 9/11, people eventually went on with their lives or whatever. Yeah. So we're just going to apply that concept
here. His character is just like completely retarded.
And all that happened was Will Smith showed up in front of everybody's television with
a neuralizer.
then we sort of got, from there, we went back to the Sam Bumblebee relationship.
And then things went downhill.
Which, I don't know.
Because he found a piece of it.
It starts with, Megan Fox and Shia Skyping about their relationship.
Well, I can understand the time being, like, the relationship was kind of shallow in the first movie, but this movie, now it's completely...
At least it seemed genuine.
Well, yeah, this, it's like, because there's time has passed, I guess...
They've grown
as a couple. We didn't get to see that growth, but they've grown as a couple.
Apparently.
And because they're both going to college, Shia's going to college,
she got boot.
You know...
She's working motorcycles.
Her dad's been exonerated.
Yeah,
or whatever.
That was a plot point in the first movie.
She got her dad.
It was still stupid that he got upset about that plot line. But anyway,
yeah, whatever.
So they're Skyping about everything, and then all of a sudden, the plot line where Megan Fox talked about how her father was a criminal.
Yeah,
and then Shia got upset about it.
Well, that was just Shia putting his weight out.
That was stupid.
You want to help me with these? You want to help these robots? But help me out.
And then she shows up and she surprises him, and then she drops the L word on him, and he's like,
You were in love with this girl.
Yeah, I didn't
all
understand
the first
that.
And
then,
I didn't understand that.
So L word is not lesbians. Okay.
Because I really thought she was. I thought that was really sweet on her part. In all honesty, he's about to leave.
Yeah, she's
about to
clearly. The fan with Wiki isn't.
Well, that's
not
the
greatest catch.
Not
the greatest catch.
I guess not.
And she's
about to find
out.
She's
out leave.
I just said that.
I love that. I think.
And then
he can't take Bumblebee to school.
Which
doesn't make
sense.
Fresh, fresh, fresh.
Oh, fresh. Oh, true.
And then, like, actually, one of my favorite scenes is like, two, it's sort of a bad movie. There are scenes of it that I do enjoy. Like, I do enjoy the scene where he goes to the frat party and Bumblebee just decides to show up and ruin his day. And then, like, he goes out, oh no, what are you doing here? And then the frat boy's like, whose car is this? And he's like, and then Shy just gets flippant for no reason. And like, why don't you go out there? Why don't you go find a big, thinner shirt? And he's like,
yeah.
We tried that. What?
Okay.
That was one of the dudes from Greek, so I really enjoyed that scene.
And then
the girl tries to get in his pants, but Bumblebee's not having any part of that.
She's called a pretender.
Yeah.
Pretender's a robot that can turn into
imagine if
you
would have initiated penetration.
That would have.
She would have penetrated him with that tongue.
Pretenders are basically.
We also got Soundwave in this movie, who they. Soundwave, people were wondering what were they going to do with Soundwave because they couldn't let him turn into a stupid.
Cassette tape.
They did that in the last movie with Frenzy.
So they turned him into a satellite.
Which was badass.
Yeah, it was.
That was.
Like,
wow. That
and
was
then he
deep.
Shot Ravage at the Earth and then Ravage just
fucking shit
up.
That
was awesome. Yeah, he messed everything.
Jumped out the water? Yeah, time to fuck
but
shit
like,
up.
It's
liquid fucking steel.
While watching this movie, this was the moment when you realize that Michael Bay no longer takes this seriously.
One of the biggest problems with this movie is that it wasn't enough robot and robot action. There were new Autobots on the team, like
clearly
2 to 3 new Autobots.
Sideswipe,
the RC twins, the boat, the electric one.
Like the only ones that really got shown doing anything.
Yeah,
were Ironhide,
Bumblebee.
And Bumblebee, and then Sideswipe did one thing.
He had one thing at the beginning of the movie.
Bear in mind, this movie.
I really don't want to talk about the twins. I don't want to talk about the twins.
What twins? What are you talking about?
Yes, okay. Move on.
Yeah, bear in mind, this movie was conceptualized during the writer's strike.
Oh, you're right.
I'm saying, professional writers, like, the Writers Guild of America could not be a part of it. So guess who had final say in this? Bay. We're talking about producers. And that these are his sensibilities. A lot of his sense of humor and qualities, like, passed over into this.
And that's why it sucks.
Exactly. That's why we got
But the final sequence of the movie is this giant military action in...
There are so many flaws beyond that, though.
I want to see this Bolt character actually do something, because apparently his electrical tendril that kind of arms.
Look,
this was a very physical role for Shia, though.
He got flipped off.
He was...
They manhandled him.
They made him work for this one.
And you know,
and then turned into a road movie for some retarded reason. So it's longer than it needed to be.
But then at the same time, this movie also was what Shia was like. Shigar was making fun of. What Shia was basically overacting, and his dialogue was
dreadful.
Optimus.
Him screaming Optimus, Bumblebee. Or just screaming in general.
Yeah.
You can see the spit just coming out of his mouth.
Yeah. Overly overacting, just...
And counteract that to Megan Fox's bad acting, and it's just like... At the point where... Okay.
And Devastator's giant balls.
Oh, yeah, okay. The
and then, you know...
They make sense, but I can understand how you...
Why they're two?
Probably one of my...
No!
Because he was two wrecking balls.
But why would you actually need... Why would anyone think that...
Lord Devastator does not turn into a giant bulldog.
It was never... And just sweep under that thing, just to see... Just to
I'm beneath the deadly robot scrotum.
Probably my least favorite scene... Well, not least favorite, but probably one of my most angry scenes in the movie... Is when
the robots didn't do anything. That was one of my problems with the movie.
Well, that too. It was
the fact that to take out Devastator, they had to use an experimental railgun, like at the other end of the
Earth.
Yeah,
to take it out.
For Optimus,
which in that really awesome scene, where within the forest, Optimus decided not to.
I love that scene.
And he just decided, well, I'll take you all on.
Yeah, I know that was so
ripped Starscream's arm off.
Yep,
I love the
That's why I said
the effect you used for that scene as well.
The deaths in this movie were awful, though.
I don't think the RC sisters died. I just think they were injured.
No,
Optimus
is dead. Where they dropped him from the ground.
That was really pissed off.
That was the point. I was legit pissed.
I mean, what the fuck?
What pissed me off is like the government and the bureaucracy. like this is Obama's this is Obama's
yeah
this is his presidency. So the bureaucracy, like the guy just showing up saying we don't care about any of your anything you're doing because you won't give us weapons, like. What? No.
Yeah.
And then threatening the Autobots, who clearly had enough weapons to drop everyone there.
Yeah. In a moment. The audacity of America.
If it wasn't for Josh Duhamel and Tyrese, like, oh man, it's not worth it. Please don't do it.
Please don't nuke our planet.
But the Ironhide was clearly going to shoot everyone.
Yeah.
So, because
Ironhide just pulled out all the guns.
Optimus was on his period in that movie, and he was not playing around.
What would you actually like about the Transformers and what Michael Bay did for them? In the original cartoon, this stuff, they kind of just came out as weird superheroes.
Yeah.
But this movie and everything that's inspired, the Autobots and the Decepticons came out as warriors.
The fact that
Optimus was going for people's faces. Yeah. And what he did to the fall at the end of the movie.
Give me your first.
Problem is, it was so quick.
Like, what I'm saying. That's my problem.
We have all this buildup. We have two and a half hours of buildup.
I thought
the
fall would be more powerful.
Or be able to take a hit.
Well, he was. But then Optimus, like I said, he was overshadowed by how awesome Optimus was.
But the
deaths, the reincarnation.
The fact that Scorponok showed up out of nowhere to cut a hole in the jetpack.
Scorponok's been around for just like doing reconnaissance.
That was one of my problems with the first one. They didn't clarify what the Decepticons died at the end of that movie.
No,
they were dumping everyone in the trench.
And like another problem I have with the movie is there was too many human characters.
Exactly. I did not need those shorties.
They introduced Shia's roommate.
I didn't need him at all. He was super annoying.
I hate him when they announced his character.
And
John Turturro in a thong.
Yeah, and my biggest problem, Shia's parents. Now, Shia's mom.
Smacking him on
a Shia's mom eating a weed.
Pop brownie.
Brownie was probably the most annoying scene in the movie. I was so irritated watching that scene. I was even more irritated because so many people were laughing.
Yeah.
I was just like,
why are people enjoying this? It's just like,
shut up.
It's like, I can kind of let go of like robots peeing on you, so to speak. But it's like, we're not going to talk about like Stephen and Fetchit or whatever, like the twins or whatever like that. And things like the teleportation.
That was completely random. But at least they talked about the space bridge.
Yeah, the female tokenism of the female tokenism.
Open the Bifrost.
The female tokenism. Just throwing in female Autobots and Transformers.
The RT sisters.
Yeah, just to throw them in there. Hey, we have four girls.
Where'd they come from?
I don't think they died.
It was X-Men 3 syndrome.
Yeah, throwing in Terminators, essentially. As far as I'm concerned, the Pretenders. Those were Terminators.
I didn't understand that.
In the bad acting, I'm just like, when Shia LaBeouf dies and Megan Fox is basically...
Oom with your fame moment where he just flips the air.
She's bat-axed him back to life, apparently. Megan Fox is like, I love you. Okay, geez, stop acting.
No, it was the space god who brought him back to life.
You've been selected. What
the fuck?
I thought the elder gods were coming down from Mortal Kombat. They were like, Mortal Kombat. He was the Matrix.
Mortal Kombat happened at the end where Optimus ripped.
The wacky sand comes back and turns him back into
the Matrix.
Jake Gyllenhaal is somewhere in there too.
A subtle scene I actually like is when they "quote unquote" rescue Megatron from the trench that no one can apparently go to, they have to rebuild him.
True,
and the little evil robot Decepticon.
Yeah, what? Wait,
whatever that guy was,
Megatron.
The doctor. Just call him the doctor.
That was hilarious.
I can be of use.
He touches him away, and they all just swarm him like piranhas.
He got flashed.
But I was helping.
Yeah.
There were too many Constructicons, so much that they repeated the same ones over and over again.
And they renamed and misnamed.
For some reason, Michael Bay thought it'd be a bright idea to add Shaky Cam to this movie.
What I wanted to give Revenge of the Fallen credit for was like having great engineers and animators. The problem is, I couldn't see a thing. It was just a big, clanky mess.
They did a better job with the fight scene than this movie.
That force fight scene
is very clear to see what Optimus is doing to people.
If it wasn't for Optimus being red and blue,
you wouldn't know who was fighting. You couldn't discern them. It was just like clashing metal.
Well, I could.
Well,
At this point, I'm able to discern which robot was
Which. I'm saying the fact.
And then for the rest of the movie, they're all just shooting each other from a long way, so there was no physical confrontation.
It's not enough to validate all the other stuff. This is so just broken, destroyed, and completely non-existent in this movie. This makes it like this.
I mean, the first time I watched the movie, I enjoyed it. I'm not gonna lie.
Second time.
I think I gotta see what people are talking about.
First time I was mad watching. I was personally upset. Just like
first time I watched, I was disappointed.
Yeah,
I was there with you. No, you were not.
Deep down, like after I got
deep down, you tell me afterwards.
After I got home, like I only enjoyed it so much.
This movie was so.
The only time I enjoyed it so much
was
I was with you guys.
Why would you lie to me? Like
no,
oh,
I
no,
because so I was with you guys. It was the same way like, we've had with X-Men 3. We hated that movie, but we enjoyed it because we were around each other. When I got home, I was like,
let it marinate a bit. Like, and it's like, you don't want to come out of a movie and you're the only one who hates it. You kind of gauge everyone's feelings. Like, I want to rain on their parade. They're having a good time. Who am I to like say? Oh, it's
still
but this movie is just like awful.
I'm drinking my own tears.
Is it so delicious?
Not really.
I must say, I do watch these movies actually because I'm able to do what y'all were saying or what someone said about Sucker Punch, turn your brain off or something. Because, you know, writing is my bread and butter as well.
Right.
So, I'm actually, I do enjoy watching the first one. I do enjoy watching the second one. I do love that forest scene. I do struggle because in both movies, there's always at least a 15-minute lull somewhere in that.
It does get boring.
Well, the second one was a road movie for some reason, and they wasted a lot of time.
It definitely became a road movie when they were in sand to Egypt.
I mean, Egypt is a beautiful place.
Why do you can't
but,
think
but
that?
I got
why is even more
that
beautiful
was,
when
that,
you're not riding with two yucky-ass robots?
When they were talking about, you know, like, explaining to Shia all that stuff.
Orion's belt.
I'm telling you that movie was Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Annihilation was awesome, though.
But it had that scene where Ryan was talking to them under that scene in Egypt. I'm like, this is Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah,
but
I mean, those bother me sometimes. But I watch them for the action. I do watch them for the action.
Like the first movie, I can watch.
Yeah, the first movie, if it's on, I'll watch it.
That's what the first one, first one. But the second one is just like, it's infuriating some of the things that they do.
Well, I still have a problem watching that movie on a small screen.
Okay, I'll grant that to a
because the large, like, it's just harder to take in the fact that these large giant robots on a regular screen TV.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And this is a bit
I happen not to
me
have
me
that problem. But okay.
You need sound blasting, the visuals popping and all that
the surround
stuff.
Surround sound
yeah.
and everything.
The brain
you.
Off, all that
exactly.
stuff. Yeah.
I can see how you would say that, though. Yeah. I mean, being
so
spectacle.
That was us talking about those two Transformers movies, but we're doing this for Dark of Moon. So let's Dark of the Moon.
Let's
talk about Dark of Moon, which, despite
Moon.
The poor... like showing
of
Revenge of the Fallen.
It made oodles and oodles of dollars.
I love, well, I'm excited to see Dark of Moon.
Me too.
Dark of Moon.
Me too.
Let's
yeah.
see. Giant Cybertronian worms.
I have no idea what the hell those are.
Oh,
no. Here's the thing. That Super Bowl trailer where they showed Optimus just sliding down
yes.
to cut people in half, like left or right. That was like, I'm in.
Like,
I'm trying to figure out, is that bat thing Laserbeak or rat bat?
Oh, yeah. I was wondering that
or
as well.
Or is it dragon?
I don't know what Shockwave, so you're
the only reason.
I also heard that all the damage that Optimus did to Megatron in the Revenge of the Fallen is still there.
Good. Nice.
So half his face is still gone.
I'm excited
for this movie because it's doing that alien invasion in a lone city
it's
angle, which is going to work so well because it's going to force them to rely on the Autobots.
All the robots.
Yeah, because. At this point...
Though there's that random scene of people parachuting from a plane.
Yeah.
At this point, there is nothing that the military can realistically do to damage these robots. So they have to rely...
Embrace them.
But the appearance from this movie is that the Autobots are going to be done with humanity after the end of this movie.
Yeah,
what it looks like.
Because they've been lied to. Because the government done fucked up again.
But you do it every movie.
Sounds like our government, actually.
Even though I definitely feel like they ruined the end of the movie in the trailer when he's talking to Sam.
Yeah, and there's clearly a giant spaceship behind him.
But what I am wondering is, even though they're going to be focused, Armageddon. Well, hopefully they're focusing more on the Autobots in this movie.
Like
I do wonder what the subplot is going to be with Sam. And also, yeah.
I don't care about
the
love interest.
That new love interest. Army.
Yeah.
Yo,
that new love interest threw me off.
Girl with the face, right?
Yeah. She threw me off. First off, she doesn't look as good as Megan Fox.
I know, right?
Man, what would have been awesome in this movie is that they had the Dinobots in them, but they're at the National History Museum, so like an Decepticon just walks by destroying humans. And a giant T-Rex comes out of nowhere and just wrecks it. Where are the Dinobots?
That would be so.
And then it'd be like, wait, Megatron?
No, when they called this movie Dark of the Moon, I thought it was about Unicron. I legitimately thought...
I was hoping it was Unicron.
So did everybody else.
Is it?
No.
Planet Shockwave. Transforming planet. Come on.
It's Shockwave. It's like the Autobots or whatever. Another retcon in the continuity. They came to the moon as well as Earth, and they've done something to it.
Get it?
So, yeah.
A satellite.
Ship crash on the moon. It's been there.
Sentinel Prime is also going to be a big deal.
Evidently. What I'm wondering, though,
he's got mustache and beard.
Why?
Like all old robots should have.
In this period of time.
Keep saying robots.
Who is this new girl? And why does it seem like Shia is this, he is crying in the trailer.
Right,
and
the point of gun, so
I'm like,
have you seen her? She got them DSM.
No, she's not that good looking, but she got them DSM. But it's so weird because she spent two movies.
Pining over this. The first movie,
yeah, it's going to be a problem.
And this new girl, it's like, what did she do?
Who could she be? Behind the scenes of that is
Megan Fox. And
well, yeah.
Actually, that's the behind the scenes.
He criticized Michael Bay's filming
style. Michael Bay put her on a rocket and blew her up.
And you know what? To her credit, you know what? She spoke the truth, but at the same time, that's your boss. You got to expect like you're going to get let go.
You didn't see Blake Lively talking back to Martin Campbell.
Yep.
Well, she did say I want to do this.
Isn't the new girl... First off, we do want to know what are they going to explain. Who could this new girl be? Isn't... that's for Sam, but then also for a Transformers mythology. Isn't she apparently everyone thought they should have done in the first one? She's an actual character.
Well,
from
here's the thing, Michaela. There's a girl, and the Sam's girlfriend in the original Transformers was a girl named Carly. Mm-hmm. And Michaela, you can sort of see that, like where they were, like where Carly, trying there.
Why did they just name her Carly?
I don't know. And with this girl, I have no idea what her name is.
Make too much sense.
So I'm not sure.
I heard that she might be based off of it. I don't know.
She'll probably be based on the original Carly.
Or is the girl.
And I'm also just very scared because this girl is a model. She has no acting experience. So I'm very scared.
Half the pre-match here today doing this.
You're thinking...
Yeah, I don't even know what she sounds like.
I mean, Megan Fox is no actress. She's not great at all.
She's a movie star.
But she at least had chemistry.
And could read.
But
we don't know... Again, we don't know.
Chemistry. Wow.
We don't know.
With Shia.
Yeah.
This
ish,
girl...
Ish.
Hell, I've developed chemistry with her, too.
Biology is
Maybe y'all both can not read together.
And we've come full circle.
We don't know anything about this girl. That's the thing.
I don't know how she's going to be treated. Like, I don't know if Megan Fox is even like kind of just mentioned in like a passing way, or
if they
like,
even if they talk about her in any way, shape, or form, it's going to upset me.
Yeah, because
they're going to have to.
A different character, though. She is playing a different character. So
yeah, exactly.
Wait, what?
If she was the same character,
here's the thing. They've already written themselves into a problem with introducing a new character and just downplaying that entire role as they built.
Don't even make a reference to it.
Cut
your losses.
Oh, yeah. So what happened to that character? What?
They give me some stupid. She moved to China. Really?
She had crap.
She moved away with her dad to regain their life together.
I was like that scene of Bumblebee crying. Huh? That scene in the trailer of Bumblebee crying.
Bumblebee's
the most expressive robot in the entire world.
I know.
That's right. More acting than
you know what?
Running up walls.
Did you see the fucking giant ship flying over?
I want to know.
Running up walls.
I hope he doesn't.
Because he
gained his voice at the end of the first one, and then that went right back to normal.
Flintstones cartoon.
All I remember is. I want to say with the boy. And then in the second one, why isn't he talking?
I have not heard that in any movie ever.
Yeah.
No.
I have.
No, I'm not talking about... No, I'm talking like he took all his soundbites from other things. I've never heard... I'm going to stay with the boy from exactly. any other.
And so it was his voice.
You can't play that out.
One, that's what he said.
Yeah, exactly. No, but like they try to play it off like maybe this is still that from a radio program.
Oh
no.
Excuse.
Yeah, that like you don't get we don't get radio serials anymore.
Well, actually, this is Michael Bay's last strike. And if he
last strike.
Here's the thing, I've heard nothing but good things about this movie so far.
I don't care.
So far.
When's it come out?
Well, what I've heard a lot of people say is that it can't get worse than the second one.
Yeah, it really.
So what they said about X-Men.
No, because the second X-Men was awesome.
No, we're talking about Wolverine.
Wolverine wasn't worse than the third one.
We had this conversation like a couple podcasts ago.
But it's not.
It is.
Not.
I'll watch X3, but I can't watch Wolverine.
It's not.
Can we not? Okay, this turns a rabbit season.
That doesn't really make sense. But it is not. This is about Transformers.
Revenge of the Fallen.
All I know is if this movie is bad.
You can't be as god awful as Revenge of the Fallen, because Revenge of the Fallen actually made me dislike the first Transformers for
it's
a little while.
Dark of Moon.
Yeah.
Which is my
if this one's bad, yeah. I'm washing my hands of Michael Bay.
He managed to make the title.
It sounds like a decent story.
Well, ain't it cool news? Saw it.
Love him.
Saw it first. It's the best Transformers movie Michael Bay ever
directed.
Ain't it
cool news also, but this is an early screening, and sometimes they get wind and dine a little bit, and Ain't It Cool News also gave a glowing review for Godzilla 2000 in a critical sense.
Ha!
I want to point that out. They have since rescinded that, saying they were overtaken by the experience.
Generally, it may not be good.
Obviously, they managed to get a worse title for this movie.
The best movie
but
ever
I can't see it being narratively or just the way it plays out to be worse than Revenge of the Fallen. I just don't see it as possible. Because they shoehorned so much crap into the second one. I don't think there's anything left. There's no room to fit.
Yeah. So this is us talking about Transformers. Probably run out a bit long, but yeah, what are you going to do?
Hour and a half.
You can give me your face.
Yeah. So, someone plug a show out.
We have the Tumblr, which is PCP Live.
I hope this episode was coherent.
Tumblr.com. Of course it was coherent.
You'd be surprised.
Is this spelled Q? Oh, no, it's not.
So go on there, follow us. Thank you for the 6-7 followers that we've gotten in the course of the day. we appreciate you and keep coming.
Yes, indeed.
On the Tumblr, you can also go to our iTunes feed. There's a link on there. And look up Chagall or Pop Culture Podcast and subscribe. Then we have an email, which is welovepcp@yahoo.com. I'm no longer talking about that because if we get emails, they'll just come.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there.
Yeah, it's there. They know it's
there. You have so many options at this point.
Then we have a Facebook page, Pop Culture Podcast. Just type that in and like us.
Leave us comments about the podcast.
Yeah. It's a good live feed, so you can get direct updates.
You also get minor news and pop culture that probably we might not mention in an episode, but just let you be aware of.
And quicker news updates. For quicker news updates, go to our Twitter. Look up We Love PCP.
That's all Josiah does. Twitter,
so
and tweets.
He's been tweeting throughout the episode. So there's going to be updates.
And
so you can see what's going on.
I'm so sorry.
He's tweet beaten.
Thank you to, her name was Marlene.
Yeah, I like comics too.
Thanks,
Marlene.
Thank you to Marlene for following us on Tumblr and on Twitter. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks, Logan, for following us on Twitter.
You are awesome, both.
Yeah, so
yes.
We've been plugged.
Yeah.
Why don't we say that word?
So anyway, yeah, our next episode, 035, is going to be Devil May Cry. We did that episode a long time ago, so I hope it's good. Question mark? 036 is us talking about the magical world of Harry Potter.
It all ends.
It's all ending that week when it comes out, so.
Yeah!
My childhood.
I still gotta catch up with all that.
It's gonna be interesting. 037, we're going to be talking about Captain America.
America!
Oh, yeah!
Josiah apparently hangs out with Bill Cosby, so he doesn't deserve.
Well, no lie.
He likes yellow.
What is it?
038 is us talking about Final Fantasy. We've talked about this in advance. Me and Marcus are coming to blows. Symphonies. And 039 is us talking about G4.
You mean Spike TV?
G4.
Oh, you mean Tech TV, right?
G4.
G4 Tech TV?
No, it's G4.
You mean Campus Police? Cheers?
Oh, you mean Ninja Warriors.
No, I'm talking about G4.
Why is Kevin Perry not doing better in his life?
You mean
you deserve better.
True.
You deserve better. You
deserve better. Okay, when we do a G4, let's not make the Borky Man jaw joke, please.
Man.
I didn't say
anything. Yeah, they might hear that one.
Oh, I'm saying it.
And I'm done.
What?
I'm done.
I'm good. I'm Carol Channing.
Well,
do Carol Channing doing Clint Eastwood?
Draw!
Oh, wow.
Now do Carol Channing doing Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus!
That's a Who's Line reference for all you.
If you don't know who Carol Channing is, like, grow up. Come on now. Read a book.
Yeah, so that was your P2P podcast.
That was your P2P podcast, 035. I really hope this episode was coherent.
I'm sure it was. It was a lot of fun doing it. I'm sure.
So, maybe William's hanging out with the rest of the boys at PC3 Brownstone. We were formerly Transformers, but now we're men.
Josiah Bradley. I don't use the profanity.
Because his name is Thurris. And all he does is go.
Please use the email. And especially the toilet.
You sound like you're pooping out your words.
Okay.
Yeah.
Say your name, please.
Oh, my name's Marcus.
Hey, he's a dead man.
Can you spell Marcus?
D-E-A-D.
Works for me.
That spells dead.
Thank you, Thurman.
I won't be able to save him. I'll be golfing.
You can save me with your golf club.
That's true. Especially since I beat. Oh, that's an idea. My golf clubs.
Also, we're not going to play the game where you try to make me say my name.
No.
I'm tired.
Oh, you are?
So,
I had a good time though.
The sleep is starting to get to
me. Sleep.
Not sleep. This is more.
Good lord.
This smells like cheese.